Hey, y'all.
This is Talkin' Trash with Liv
and Lizzie,
the podcast where two friends show each other our silliest and most treasured movies.
Each week, we'll watch a beloved movie,
no matter how corny, childish, or contrived.
Sometimes a masterpiece with minor flaws.
Other times, a magnificent mess.
Because one man's trash
is Liv and Lizzie's treasure.
My friend.
Hey, howdy, hey.
It's me. I'm on a yo-yo. What's that from?
I have no idea.
You don't?
No.
It's Woody in Toy Story 2.
Oh, it's me. I'm on a yo-yo. Okay. The first thing that came to my mind when you said that was that vine where it's like, teach me a yo-yo, he asked the yo-yo man, but the yo-yo man didn't reply.
He just kept on yoing. A fantastic vine.
It's R.I.P. Vine. We miss ya.
Right. I guess I'll jump into it. How are you doing this week?
I am doing pretty good.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. We're at that phase, so our work has kind of stripped more people back and stuff because COVID.
Yeah.
It's kind of lonely.
I'm glad that you're having a good week still.
Yeah.
Are you not? No.
Oh no, what happened?
It's just depressing now that cases are spiking, being work and not having clients come in is just like a sad time.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've been really, it's also just made the days long and tedious. Doing everything virtually is just the pits. And it's so true. I've been looking forward to this. I've been having stuff scheduled in the evenings, which has been good.
Yeah.
But, really looking forward to holiday next week.
Yes. That will be very nice.
Yeah.
I will say one really good thing happened today.
Mm-hmm.
One
good thing did happen today.
Or more accurately, I think it was about 7 good things.
True.
So our employer, brought in, therapy dogs, and we just got to play with puppies for like an hour. So that was wonderful.
That was wonderful.
There was one named Lucy. She was, I don't know the breed name, but she was a Toto dog. Like, Toto from The Wizard of Oz.
That's a good question. I don't know what breed Toto is, but it was the friendliest little puppy.
You weren't there when she first walked in. I was, like, the first person there to greet the dogs. And she walked in and ran up to me and then slid on the tile, like...
That's my favorite thing a dog can do.
A good half of the way. But then, without missing a beat, as soon as she got directly in front of me, rolled over, like, in one fluid motion, and exposed her belly, like, pet me, human. You look like you're prepared to pet me.
Yeah.
And by God, I was.
Oh.
I was like, come here, Lucy!
That's so sweet.
Yeah, she was great. I love Lucy. No.
That's a good part of the day.
Yeah.
I agree.
So
what's the vibe, Liv?
The vibe is inconsistent.
Yeah. just like this week.
The vibe is what it is. We are drinking beer. We've got some, I'm drinking Landshark with a lime in it.
An excellent choice.
Like I'm on the beach or something.
Yep.
It's November.
I've got my Blue Moon. Blue Moon. I don't, yep. There's not really any way for me to elaborate on that, but.
And then we ordered Chinese food because we were too lazy for anything that was, like, accurate to the vibe check.
I don't know. I think there's something deeply American in getting takeout cuisine.
Takeout beer. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty American.
Yeah.
I feel like if we really wanted to be, like, super American, we could have done, like, hot dogs.
We could have.
But I didn't want to.
But, like, I don't know. No, I agree.
Yeah.
No, that was not the vibe.
No.
We'll get there.
But will we, though?
That's fair. This is the first... This is the very tonally different from other stuff that we've watched.
Yeah.
So
why don't you tell us about this week's movie?
Yes. Again, it's an unusual choice for this week. But I picked Air Force One, directed in 1997 by Wolfgang Petersen. And I don't know. I wanted to do something different, and this... This is not like a long... Oh, hello, Zoe. What's up, puppy? Say hello.
Go on.
She is terrified now.
My husband just came in here and gave her the stink eye and the little shushy finger, which she knows means... imminent death if she does not stop.
If she does not shut up. Now she got the head down. She knows. So I picked this one. It's very different from what we've watched before. And this actually isn't like a long running treasure for me. I only watched this movie in the past year. And I thought it was a fabulous action adventure cliche classic, and I didn't know why I hadn't seen it before, so I thought I needed to share it with you. Should I run stats on it now, or should I ask? Actually, you know, I'll run stats on it, and then I'll ask you kind of what you're expecting. So,
okay.
The cast is fantastic. My 80s 90s husband Harrison Ford.
Classic.
As the president. We have Glenn Close as...
Shut up!
Yeah!
I love Glenn Close. What?
Glenn Close.
Glenn Close.
She is... I'm pretty sure she's the Secretary of State.
Okay.
She's either Secretary of State or she's Vice President. I can't remember.
Okay.
So
off by about 40 years...
For yeah.
accuracy, but...
23.
If it came out in the... Only 23?
This came out in 97.
Oh, I thought you said it came out in the 8. Oh, you're no. talking about Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford is my 80s and 90s and husband.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. I was like, yeah, if this was the 80s, then it's only... It's 40. Okay.
No, but 97. Yeah, so 23 years
23.
Off.
23.
Yes. Okay. And once again, Gary Oldman... As,
Gary Oldman?
Yes.
You didn't tell me this cast was good.
I was waiting for a surprise.
I mean, I knew Harrison Ford, and he's always marvelous.
Yes.
But,
Gary Oldman is the Eastern European terrorist who is taking over Air Force One.
Okay, so this is, like, around the same time then probably as, like, Die Hard.
This is a Die Hard response, so, essentially.
Because that's interesting. That's something that you don't really see much anymore, where the terrorists are always, like, Ukrainian or Russian.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, they're kind of a different...
Oh, we're going to have a whole conversation about how this movie could never... exist today.
Uh-huh.
And how it was essentially made in, like, the last era in which this kind of film could be made.
I feel like boomers and Gen X people probably have a very different relationship to this film.
Probably.
Than we are going to.
Yes. It's rated R.
Okay.
I was only 4 when this came out. So, I would never have seen this in a million years.
Yeah, same.
And I remember, this was one of those movies that, like, when you would turn on, like, TNT, it was always on, and I saw the same clips a million times.
Yeah, and it was, like, the censored version.
I knew lines from this movie, because I'd see commercials mm-hmm. for it all the time, but I'd never seen this movie. Yeah, it's one of those movies that just kind of got shown a lot. It has a 78% score on Rotten Tomatoes, a 61% score on Metacritic. Ebert said that it was cliche and flawed, but, quote, well-served by the quality of the performances.
Okay.
Which I completely agree with. Okay. And I think that's sort of the heart of what we show here, is we show the cliche and the corny, but there's something in it that we love. And yeah. There was something in this that I loved.
Speaking of cliche and corny, I'm just going to throw this out there now that Harrison Ford's on my mind.
Yeah.
We should have an Indiana Jones month. But I refuse to watch the fourth one.
Okay. Good. Because that's the one I don't want to watch.
Or I guess we could always watch it just to, like, make fun of it.
Oh, but it... But see, I would rather do that with two. Because I can have fun making fun of two.
Tuned monkey brains. That's for some reason, that's the part my dad and I always quote.
I feel terrible that the part I always remember and quote is, okie dokie, Dr. Jones. And I feel horrible.
Oh, no.
Absolutely horrible that that's the line. Yeah. That and Indy! Those are the only two lines from two that I remember. That, I take it back. I realize I quote two a lot. Because all the time I say, Kalima! Yes! I can't believe I quote this terrible movie I've watched one time.
I'm gonna be honest, I hardly remember, like, the first Indiana Jones movie, for some reason, does not stick out in my mind.
Oh,
nearly as much as two or three. Three is my favorite. Sean Connery, he's been on my mind lately, I guess, yeah. but his performance as Indy's dad, hands down, seals the show for me. I love...
Let my homage be the trees and the rocks. Did I quote that last week,
yes,
too?
Yes, you did. My favorite line that my dad quotes all the time from that movie is, like, anytime somebody makes a bad decision, like, whether we're, like, at the beach and, like, you know, my cousin, like, tries to, like, you know, do something fun and then trips and falls, or whether it's, like, a horrible, like, political move... Or a football play, doesn't matter. If it goes poorly, he'll lean over and say, he chose poorly.
I do that all the time.
It's great. It's great.
He chose wisely. I say that, yeah. I say that very, very frequently.
That and, Jehovah begins with an I, or whatever. So back to Air Force One.
Yes, thank you. I'm going to need that because I am so easily distracted by Harrison Ford.
Understandable.
So, well, that interestingly leads me into why this became a treasure so quickly. So I, like many other people in kind of our age and stage, had a period of time during this year where I was in my parents' house for an extended period of time between living situations and I spent some time at home taking care of grandparents who were living there while my parents were in quarantine. It's been a year. It's been a really crazy year. But part of that time being at home was... movie night was pretty much every night because we weren't going anywhere in the morning. Yeah. So, and for the season of time that I was living there, and my now late grandfather was living there and I was home with my parents, he really wasn't super interested in what we were watching unless we were watching like a really high stakes, corny action movie. Mm-hmm. And so scrolling through Netflix, we found Air Force One. And I've said before that my mom's taste influenced me greatly. And her deep and abiding love of Harrison Ford has also been passed down to me. She had her Han Solo poster. I would also have a Han Solo poster. And she was like, ooh, let's do that one. And so my grandfather like actually watched that one with us. And I remember that fondly. And so I really liked this super corny movie. For all of its silliness and flaws, it is highly entertaining. And I just really enjoyed it and really enjoyed watching it with my family. So that's why it's my treasure. But what are you expecting?
I'm expecting Harrison Ford at his Harrison Fordiness if that makes sense.
Like, peak man.
Peak American man. I'm expecting him to punch a bunch of people. I'm expecting... I have no reason to believe this. Like, I haven't seen many clips from it. But I feel like at some point they're going to end up on the outside of the plane. I feel like there's going to be some sort of romance subplot. You're blinking at me like I'm taking this as I'm getting this right.
I'm not. I did not mean to send any kind of subliminal message there.
Okay.
What is it, Mama? Why do you wink at me?
But I'm expecting this to, like, I'm expecting to, like, get bingo very quickly on my bingo board of 90s action tropes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's probably going to be some explosions. If it's rated R in the 90s, that's kind of like a crapshoot. Like, there's a lot of 90s movies that aren't actually that bad.
Mm-hmm.
That are rated R.
I would put this in that category.
Okay. Like, a movie that would be PG-13 today.
Oh, yeah.
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 Die Hard's kind of like that, to some extent.
This is the same, intensity as a Die Hard, yes.
Okay. I'm expecting it to be a lot like Die Hard, if I'm honest.
Yep.
And then I'm expecting to be shocked by the reminder of the way the world was in the 90s. Like, they're probably just gonna, like, there's gonna be, like, minimal security. They're just gonna, like, walk onto the plane. I mean, granted, it's Air Force One, so of course they're just gonna walk onto the plane. They're not gonna, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're not an airport, mm-hmm. per se. But I still feel like, you know, everyone's just gonna be like, Mr. President! And he's just gonna, like, wave with, like, two secret security officers next to him. And then get on the plane like it ain't no thing. Yeah,
I think those are intelligent, predictions here. So,
honestly, as long as Harrison Ford gets to punch somebody, I'm down.
Oh, I think that's a given.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, we were just talking about this downstairs. It's like, if you, like, look at your life choices and you're the kind of person that Harrison Ford would punch, like, I feel like that's a good, like, moral code.
You're on the wrong side of history.
Yeah, like if it's like, okay, who does he punch? Terrorists, Nazis, like
stormtroopers.
So Nazis.
Nazis, space Nazis.
Space Nazis, Earth Nazis. Gary Oldman Nazis. It's all the same.
I'm sure, whatever, Gestapo and whatever the Russian equivalent.
I can't remember what they're called.
I feel like a horrible history person right now.
I'm not a very good, yeah, somewhere, my dad's ashamed of me right now. My knowledge of Russian history is kind of a blank.
Thankfully, this movie is not reliant upon any knowledge of any history of any kind.
Good.
I think I've said this to you already, but one of the most interesting things about this movie is where the president leans politically is very vague because it doesn't matter. What side of the aisle he is on.
That's refreshing.
Right? It will go on the list of reasons why this would never happen be made today. Yeah. Never in a million years.
Yeah, we have a very, like, politicized society, just in general.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's do this. All right, this is the lovely Harrison Ford in Air Force One.
Dope. Well, that's Air Force One.
So you liked the soundtrack, obviously.
It was fun. It was a call it American soundtrack. It sounded very similar to, like, the Captain America films and, you know.
America.
America.
Okay, so, what did you think?
That was a good, fun time.
Right?
That is not a movie that I would grab just any time to watch. Mm-hmm. But that was a good, fun time. Like, if it came on TV.
Yeah.
Like, not that I have normal TV anymore, but if I was in a place where it came on, I'd be like, yeah, I'll watch this.
Right?
Okay,
so, because you had a generally positive reaction, let's start with either what you didn't like or, let's just start with what we didn't like. Not even what was just weird. We'll get to what was weird, but just what you didn't like.
So this is actually a complaint that I have about a lot of, like, this type of action films.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, it feels like there's a resolution. Like, I want the fight with the big bad to be the end of the movie. And then, yay, we saved Air Force One. Brr, 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 brr. And then it ends, and then, but this one was like, oh no, now we have to land the plane. 30 more minutes, you know what I'm saying? Like,
it does Return of the King a little bit here.
Yeah, but like, Return of the King, I had also spent, and like, I'm a big fan of like the extended edition, so I've spent like, you know, 40 hours getting to know these characters.
That's fine.
So I'm like, yeah, I want to know how every single one of them spends the next 50 years of their lives. Like, for Mr. President over here, I just want him to get home safe.
Yeah.
And I want his poor baby girl to get the therapy she needs.
Which is gonna be a lot.
Yeah. Oh, God. But yeah, so I didn't love every part of the ending.
Yeah.
And this is really kind of nitpicky, but I think that this is a pretty gaping flaw. CNN is, like, covering the story at the end, and there's, like, a candlelight vigil for the president. There's 12 people there. Like, Ruth Bader Ginsburg was, like, a court justice. And, like, Washington, like, shut down for her vigil. I mean, there were millions of people there, you know? And then the president of the United States...
might be dead.
In a movie, might be dead. And they couldn't get, like, a couple more extras to fill out the scene. Like, there is, like, legitimate space between each of those people. Like, they were like, maybe if we spread out, it'll make us look... it'll make it look like there's more of us. It didn't.
That's funny.
Guys, it looked dumb. I know that you couldn't find enough extras. Also, the like subplot with the releasing of the bad Ukrainian dictator general man. And then they're like, you're released. And then they're like, just kidding, we're gonna shoot you. Like, I feel like there are some... on one hand, I'm like, woohoo, they didn't release the bad guy that caused, like, mass genocide. Good for them. But on the other hand, I'm like, I don't know. There's something that was kind of weird about releasing a man and then immediately shooting him.
Yeah.
But that's just me getting nitpicky. Overall, what I would say about this movie is that the plot was subpar.
Mm-hmm.
But the acting was so good.
Very good acting
performances. It was so good. So, yeah, I don't have a ton of negative stuff to say about it.
That's good. I think I don't really have a lot of negatives. I'm able to laugh at, like, the really corny lines. Like, you've got a couple, like, Vice President, I think you'll want to look at this. Or,
I
like,
totally love
good
this.
God, man, what are you saying?
I love when they say good God, man, in the very government official way. Good God, man.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the best line in this movie real quick?
You go for it.
The freaking, like, get off my plane.
That is the most famous line from this movie.
Yeah! That's my president.
Liv and I both threw our hands up and cheered.
It's great.
When he yelled, "Get off my plane."
And then...
It is a very iconic scene and moment, yeah.
And then there's a part where, like, the little, like, Air Force... He's not little. He's, like, a grown man. But the Air Force dude pulls up next to the plane, and he's like, "We're gonna stay with you, sir. Mr. President, you did us proud." And then he salutes Harrison Ford.
It's the most heartfelt salute.
And I was like, yeah, man. I was, like, saluting, too. Like... I've never, like, done anything, like, military. Well, I've been to, like, ceremonies and stuff, but I myself have never even been, like, remotely connected, you know, militarily. Like, I have no right, probably, to salute, but I was like, yeah!
So, like, that line, from what you were saying while you were watching it, your favorite character... was the First Lady.
No, actually.
No, okay.
My favorite lady,
we have the same favorite character.
My favorite character is the random secretary who's like, yes! Who's like, Mr. President, they cut the phone lines, but not the fax machine.
She's the best!
She needs to get, like, the Medal of Honor.
Right?
She needs to get whatever you give, like, what is the highest honor that you can give?
I think it's the Medal of Freedom, yeah.
Yeah, okay. She earned that.
Yep.
She needs it.
Yeah,
that lady the Medal of Freedom.
She went out there with him.
She did!
Like, she knew she was, like, taking a risk.
She's facing down death, and she's like, I can work a fax machine. And I was like, go off!
The first time I saw this movie, I was convinced... she was going to die, and I was just preparing myself for it. And then when you see her floating down on her parachute,
that was the best shot of the movie.
Just so happy, and it was a magical moment.
End the movie there. That's all I need.
Yeah, she's the best part. The First Lady, I think, is super cool.
She is really cool, and the First Daughter was also super dope.
I said that I liked that. I'm so used to seeing the narrative of the official's child who's like, I don't want to be the president's daughter.
I just want to be a normal teen, Dad.
And she starts this movie with, hey, Dad, why didn't you take me to those refugee camps?
Right?
I want to be active in the political scene.
She's like, yeah, you're expecting her to be like, Dad, I just want to go to the Backstreet Boys concert with my friends. Mm. But instead she's like, Dad... why didn't you let me be politically involved?
I'm 12 years old.
And I know things about the world, Dad. And I was like, hell yeah, you do. Go off, kiddo. You go, like, help those refugees in that refugee camp. I am here for it. I'm proud of you. Mm. So Gary Oldman. Okay. Here's the thing. Gary Oldman... could, like, fart on camera, and I'd be like, what a stellar performance. Character-wise, he's no Hans Gruber.
Oh, no, by no means.
No, he's not. He was good, but he wasn't that good, you know?
Hans Gruber, you can tell, even when he's running out of options, he's still going to be collected and dignified until that moment when he's falling to his death.
Yeah.
This... guy, and I don't remember the terrorist name.
I don't either.
But Gary Oldman's character feels much more volatile.
Yeah.
I mean, he's about to snap.
I mean, he's like a zealot. Yeah.
Oh, when he kisses the top of the little girl's head, it's that made me so creepy. So creepy.
And it's funny because, like, we just watched a movie with Gary Oldman in it, and I was like, yum, yay, Gary Oldman. And now I'm like, which I think is a testament to how good he is as an actor.
Yeah.
But also, I feel, like, kind of icky. These aren't really good things or bad things, but these are the notes that I took in the movie.
Are we getting into the stuff that's, like, weird about watching this movie now? I'll hold on to those points later.
But. Okay, I can hold on to those points, but I wanted to make a note about the music.
Yeah.
In response to the music, I wrote down, intro music makes me feel like Gary Sinise should be sending me into space.
That that's right.
While at Disney World. Like, you know, like Mission Space.
Yes.
Or then there's the one, I think it's the actor is actually like Kronk or whatever, but it's the, what's the one where they launch you and you're on like a hang glider?
Soarin'.
But you know, he was like, ba-da-da music, yes. And it's like,
if you don't feel at least a little bit patriotic listening to this music,
it does.
You ain't American.
Yeah. But it really did, like, I was like, I was ready to, like, get launched into outer space.
Yep.
Through NASA for the good of America.
Yep.
I also wrote down, there was a quote that I really liked. Peace is not the absence of conflict, but the presence of justice.
Yes!
You go, yes. Harrison Ford!
Appropriate 2020 quote there.
No justice, no peace. Harrison Ford got it right in 1997.
Whatever party this president was a part of.
Whatever his policies are.
Is he conservative? Is he liberal? We don't know.
He is from the party of cool.
Yes.
That's all that matters.
That's this entire movie.
President also,
cool.
There's like all this like background stuff that never gets fleshed out. Like, you know, Gary Oldman is like, Will, I have 2 children, and you're like, okay,
yeah,
and I'm supposed to care? And then it like casually gets brought up, where it sounds like he's almost, he said something where he was like, my children are all dead, and I'm like, either I missed something, or it was like, okay, wonderful. You're still a terrorist. Like, you still hijacked a plane.
Here's what I will say for the performance. I feel like there's two kind of responses to villains now that are given some semblance of backstory. And it's either, whether it's intentional or not, people perceive it as like, oh, they want us to feel bad for him and make them a good guy, or else it's just thrown in there haphazardly and it doesn't actually add anything. We just feel like we need an origin story.
Yeah.
I don't really feel like that did either.
It felt like dead space. Like, you could have cut those lines and made the movie like 5 minutes shorter and it would still be an equally good movie.
I do agree with that. I don't think they were vital, but I did feel in certain moments with him that, again, even though he is deplorable and evil, because again, giving a character a backstory and a motivation does not make them
good,
admirable or good. Even if it makes them sympathetic, it does not make them admirable or good. But this never made him sympathetic, but I understood who he was. Because, like, the moment when he hears, like, all the prisoners singing this song as they're marching out.
And he's, like, crying or whatever.
Yeah, like, and he says, you know, it's the depth of my conviction that shuts down my morality, which is horrific. But,
you understand who he is.
You get it. You understand, oh, this is this kind of radical.
Yeah. Shall we move into the segment of why this is weird to watch as a millennial?
Yes, I think, the only other thing, I was pleased to, there were multiple moments in this that you and I cheered, because again, it's just a cool president and a cool movie.
Yeah.
We talked about how distinct the Harrison Ford punch is. You got your Harrison Ford
there's
punches.
There's a pause before it.
Yes.
He goes, glare, wait, punch.
Yeah.
And it's so good. I love a Harrison Ford punch.
It was really good.
Oh.
So.
I love that man.
On the list of reasons why this movie is so strange in the year of our Lord 2020. And I do think the timeline is fascinating. This came out in 1997, pre-9/11,
Bill Clinton is still president.
We're on, like, this huge uptick economically, and we're super happy to be Americans, and it's just a fascinating time to think about.
I was 5 years old.
Yeah. I wasn't worried about college debt or climate change or any of that.
Yeah.
a different time.
I was like in my mind, I knew that my, like, I remember being confused when I found out my parents, just to speak to like what a different time the 90s were. When I found out my parents didn't like or vote for Bill Clinton, I was confused. Because he was the president, and how could you not like the president?
Yeah.
Like, it had nothing to do with his politics or anything.
Everyone had this attitude of, like, the president's cool.
Yeah.
You'll like the president.
Yeah. And then also, I remember finding out that, like, we get to vote for a new person to be president, and being confused by that, because my entire life had been Bill Clinton and only Bill Clinton.
Yep.
And I was like, wait.
There's gonna be a different president?
That random guy I see on the TV that's, like, important to our country somehow is, like, no longer important to our country somehow?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I went back to, like, playing with my Barbie dolls, and that was the amount of, you know, thought I gave it. But, which none of that, you know, none of that's a bad thing, like...
No, but it's strange kind of going back to this time. Mm-hmm. And again, thinking about a time when a movie could be made when the president is not like a nuanced political figure, but just the cool action protagonist. Yeah.
Like, he doesn't have to make a real political statement. He's just like, I'm the American good guy. And, like, everybody's like, oh, yeah, the president. And, like, we all agreed that, like, president is cool.
Yeah.
You know? So that's definitely changed.
For sure.
We
had a female vice president 23 years too early, which we talked about.
Yeah, Glenn Close. She was great.
She was wonderful in this movie. But there's also just, like, little things. So, you know, him pulling out the mobile phone.
Oh my god. And the battery dies.
Oh,
he called the operator.
Yes.
You would have Googled, like, White House front desk phone number. But he's like, hello, operator. Can you connect
to the White House?
And she charges him a dollar.
It was so funny. You and I both went on this list or moment where we listed all the things that the first daughter was wearing, from the tights to the mini skirt,
middle part, hair pulled back, half up, half down, with a barrette
and a choker.
Oh my god, the choker. And, like, the little, like, chunky streaks.
Yes.
It was the 90s and we all wanted to look like Rachel from Friends.
Can we talk about how much the nice plain lady who dies, how much she was going for that Rachel
Her haircut. 90s shag that was, like, somewhere between the Monica shag and the Rachel. It was, like,
you know what it
was?
Decide
what it wanted to be.
It was somewhere between the Rachel and the Hillary.
Yes!
Uh-huh.
It's like, this is the political Hillary hairstyle, but we're gonna be trendy about it.
Yes.
Like, it was very, yeah. Yes.
We also talked about this. I was surprised when I watched this. The main cast is not particularly diverse, but in, like, every shot of various places, like the military, the White House, the plane, it was like your high school, like, textbook cover of diversity.
Yes,
it was like we went down the checklist.
We did.
We had everybody.
We're it's 1997, and we are diverse and woke. yeah, that was definitely a thing. You know what got me? They just casually, I don't even remember what they were talking about, but they were talking about, like, foreign policy or whatever, and they were just like, oh yeah, and Saddam Hussein, and I'm like, what?
Oh yeah, that name drop.
What?
Just like...
But it wasn't like, oh, Saddam Hussein, the villain, you know? It was just like, oh yeah, and then Saddam Hussein, like, it was just like,
He's doing something.
It was like dropping politically relevant names because we're trying to sound presidential.
Yeah.
Like, and I was just sitting there like, oh my god, like, what a different world.
Yeah.
That was.
Yeah.
Before. Well,
and I mean, again, post 9/11, You don't make plane hijacking movies unless they are absolute tragedies.
Yeah, this movie would have been so offensive if it came out in, like, 2002. Oh, my
gosh.
Oh, my God. People would lose their minds.
And, I mean, it's one of those where, again, I watch it and I'm deeply entertained and there's this little part of me that's, like, American inspired because the fax lady saved the day. Yeah. And like,
but I'm not gonna lie, there were moments where they like showed the plane like teetering or moving down, or you know, they were like, oh, we're losing fuel, we might crash, and like I had genuine anxiety about it.
Yeah,
because like the idea of like a plane crash is like super horrific to me.
Yeah.
You know, like watching 9/11 happen as a child, like the idea of like a plane getting hijacked is like the scariest thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I hate that because like our security is so tight on planes now, like the likelihood of this happening again is like very slim to none. You know, it's like not. Yeah. So it's an irrational thing to be scared of, but, you know, you get on a plane and you're like, okay, like, is it gonna crash? You know, like, yeah. There's that small fear.
This just harkens back to, like, again, a time before that was
even a blip
on a, yeah, it just wasn't there.
I like that we both said blip.
Yeah.
I was like, I felt it. I was like, yep. Yeah, it's a blip.
Blip on a radar.
Yeah, but it wasn't. It was just... So this movie's definitely, it was fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think it's aged poorly.
No, so the CGI of the plane crash was kind of subpar. We had seen good CGI by this point.
Yeah.
Dragonheart CGI was better than this.
It was.
Titanic was already doing really solid CGI work at this time.
You know what? They came out the same year. Yeah. I actually don't... Wait, no, did Titanic come out in 97 or 99? I thought it was 97. But now I'm not sure.
I'm gonna Google
it. Yeah, go ahead and check that.
It's gonna be like... It's gonna give me like...
But know. If it was 97, I actually don't know which of these came out first. But that would be interesting to see. But
1997.
Oh, yeah.
Same year.
Yeah. I do think... You know, there's something to be said about, like, this is the most American movie.
It really like, is.
It, no matter how cynical I have felt in...
It makes you proud to be American.
Yes.
For just a minute, you know.
Yeah.
Like, and then it's over and you're like, that was a very enjoyable film.
Yeah.
Highly unrealistic, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I think
it does speak to this, you know, very proud and courageous and, like, genuine American spirit.
Yeah.
Like, let's be real. Your heart warms when you see the president get on the plane and he's talking to all his staff mates and he's like, he, like, smacks one on the shoulder and he's like, hey, Jim. Hey, Pam.
Yeah.
Like, he's, like, just so happy
You're
to
like,
see
oh,
everybody.
It's the president.
And, It was very much that, like, man of the people. And it made sense that it didn't get political.
Because he was trying to be, like... They wanted all audience members to, like, identify with him. Yeah, that all made perfect sense to me. As a side note, this is the last thing kind of 90s adjacent I want to touch on. Why were the 90s so obsessed with disaster movies?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think when you're in a season of relative
it's like when you're in a
prosperity
season
and peace and growth,
you have to have some sort of catharsis or imagining of fear as like an exercise of like fight or flight to like get the blood pumping.
Yeah. This I enjoy as escapism for those like warm happy feelings. I still struggle with like the scenes like when the lady on the plane dies. That's a genuinely like upsetting scene.
I was like, no, not Hillary Rachel.
Yeah. But when you get to those like big triumphant moments, they're just so enjoyable that like I feel like I can you know, escape for a little bit with it. But for the most part, I'm usually not a disaster movie person, and especially not this past year. That's not my flavor of escape.
This year has been, like, Disney movies.
All the Miyazaki movies.
Yes.
All of the period romance films.
Yep. This is I just want life to be chill for a little bit.
But this, for me, is still this kind of, like, fantastic, you know, adventure escape. It's the same feeling I feel when I watch Die Hard. Okay, so I guess all that's really left is, what is your final rating for Air Force One?
3 out of 5 wires. The red, white, and blue.
That is the dumbest and best part.
It's so bad.
And would you put this in your trash or your treasure pile?
I'd put it treasure adjacent. Mm-hmm. Like, am I gonna carry this movie with me for the rest of my life? No. This is the kind of movie that I would put on in the background to fall asleep to, and I would wake up and go, like, get off my plane, and then immediately fall back asleep. Like, that would be my relationship with this. Like, if I had friends to watch it with, I would gladly watch it again.
Yeah.
But it is not a treasure for me in that I enjoyed it, but it's not, like, near and dear to my heart.
I think I said that for one that you showed me, and I'm trying to remember which one it was.
I can't remember either.
It may have been...
Was it Dracula? Was it Gary Oldman all the way?
I think... The funny thing with Dracula is that that's been one that's actually, like, stayed in my head for a while. Mm-hmm. I think I did say, like, is this one I want to watch, like, by myself?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah.
But would I watch it with, like, right friends? Yeah. So I'd put that here. I'd probably give it 4 out of 5 wires.
Okay.
Maybe 4.5.
Cool.
I do really enjoy it. It's super corny and cliche, but for me it's in all the right ways. So
it was a fun 90s film.
Yes.
And any time I have an excuse to look at Harrison Ford, I'm happy for that excuse.
I liked showing you this after you showed me Dragonheart.
Yeah.
This is my Dragonheart.
Harrison Ford and Dennis Quaid kind of have that similar...
It's a similar energy.
Yeah.
And they're both really corny and have CGI that endears us to it a little bit. I think that's a good... This is a good side-by-side.
So overall, good film.
I mean, good. I'm glad. Mm-hmm. What, I know you've been debating a couple of them, but do you know what you want to show me next?
Yeah, I've decided.
What's it time for?
This is what dreams are made of.
So that song slaps, and I love that song, even though I have virtually no memory of this movie.
Wonderful. So... We're going to watch the Lizzie McGuire movie.
Which is funny because I loved the Lizzie McGuire show.
Yeah.
When I was a kid. And I remember, like, I feel like all the parts of this that I remember were all the parts that were in, like, the trailers on Disney Channel.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, like, the basic plot.
Okay.
But that's about all that's there.
This movie holds a very special place in my heart. So, yeah, we are going to fast forward a little bit from the 1990s into the early 2000s. Man.
What a time.
I love the Lizzie McGuire movie, and I'm excited to share it with you.
I am excited to relive this experience, maybe, if it's a relive.
It's good.
Yeah.
Also, I can tell you already, the vibe next week, it has to be Italian because they go to Rome.
Yes. I remember that distinctly. Maybe because was in every trailer.
But also,
they're all going to Rome, but like her and Gordo's there.
And then Miranda
didn't go. But Miranda's not there. I remember I didn't want to see the movie because Miranda wasn't in the movie.
Did Miranda get in trouble or something? Like her actress...
Oh, did she?
Something happened and they, like, wrote her out of the movie.
That's dumb.
Yeah, it sucked.
Because the mean
girl's in it. I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure that that's true. But I know, I'm pretty sure that the chick who played Miranda got caught with, like, weed or something. And have, like,
a court date and stuff. It's a Goyle
situation. Yes. I'm pretty sure it was like that. And they were like, oh, no, Miranda couldn't come. You know.
Reason. We'll see. I'm kind of excited to see what that reason. I do like Gordo.
Yeah, I'll do some research and see why she wasn't in the movie. But yeah, so I can tell you already, though, this is not going to be a red wine movie.
No.
This is like maybe Peach Bellini or like a Limoncella kind of movie.
Okay.
It's sweet and kind of silly.
Yeah.
So.
I'm excited.
Hey now. I'm going to be singing that for the next
month. I'm about to like go get in my car on my way home and just blast that probably. Again, yeah. I loved that song growing up.
No memory of the movie. Just throwing this out there, we need to watch Xenon Girl of the 21st Century.
Yes, we do! I'm sorry. That was, like, my favorite Disney Channel movie when I was a kid. Right? It was one of my favorite movies of all time.
Venus Lapidus.
Zoom, zoom, zoom.
Make my heart go boom, boom. Boom. My supernova girl. It's so
that
good. Protozoa was his name. Oh, my God. I loved Protozoa.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I will only do this if we also watch Xenon the sequel.
Girl.
Which was the actual name of the sequel.
Okay, so I know we've talked about doing some themed months.
Oh, is it time for the DOCM month eventually? I said that wrong. DCOM month.
I was like, DOCM.
Disney Channel original movie.
Oh, yeah,
movie.
This needs to happen. Motocross.
Yep, I remember motocross.
Luck of the Irish.
Loved Luck of the Irish.
Oh, we all love Luck of the Irish.
My other favorites were Cadet Kelly.
I love Cadet Kelly.
Yep.
Oh, Johnny Tsunami.
I vaguely remember Johnny Tsunami.
Oh my God, Johnny Tsunami is my favorite. And then this one, like, doesn't really count, I don't think, as a Disney Channel original movie, because I think it was a movie on its own, but Disney Channel played it all the time, so I kind of associate it. Remember Cool Runnings?
I do remember Cool Runnings.
I love that movie.
That was a Disney movie. It was in theaters, yeah.
That's right. So it wasn't a Disney Channel original, but it got a lot of airtime.
Cool Runnings was great.
That was a good movie.
Yeah.
Anyways, we'll have to... So, we're going to have a month of like, Christmas films coming up in December.
Yeah.
And eventually, pretty soon, I think we'll have to do a Disney Channel session. So... for our listeners, if you are, feeling so bold, go ahead and drop us a line on Twitter or on our Instagram, and let us know, which Disney Channel original movies, because frankly, there's about 15 that are very near and dear to my heart, and we just can't do all of them in one month. So, tell us which ones, I guess, are your favorites help us narrow it down.
I
want to
know which are, like, the trash that you treasure. Because, like, let's be real. There are some that are more silly and more deeply treasured than others. I feel like High School Musical is in, like, a different,
High School
like,
Musical
category.
Is its own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also,
there's so many High School Musical movies at this point. I feel like we have to make a whole month out of High School
Musical. There's three High School Musical movies. I think there's now two Teen Beach movies.
Teen Beach?
You don't know about...
What's Teen Beach?
I might show you the first Teen Beach movie.
What the hell is Teen Beach?
It's the new thing. And by new, I think it's been out for like 5 years. But no, they made another musical. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. I can't even remember why I watched Teen Beach movie. I remember watching it in college.
Oh, no.
We watched it as a joke. And, yeah.
Oh, no.
I'll have to think about that one.
Oh,
you all should see the light just slowly fading from Liv's eyes.
Okay, did they learn nothing from High School Musical? It wasn't good.
To be fair, they know that. It's not supposed to be. The premise of the movie is that two teenagers get sucked into a bad 60s beach film.
Oh, it's a musical. Oh, no. All right, on that note, I need to call it a night. I think we're done.
Yeah, we've strayed far from the path of Air Force One.
Yeah, so anyways, next week, Xenon. No, not Xenon.
No, Lizzie McGuire
movie!
Same
no!
difference.
One's
in Rome and one's in space. They both end in pop concerts.
Oh, God. Okay. So yeah, tune in next week for some Hillary Duff silliness, and thank you
to our friends who are listening, and thank you to the total strangers who are listening.
Yes, we love you.
Thank you again, random Irish audience that we've amassed.
I don't know. There's like 3 people in Ireland who are still sticking with us, like for multiple episodes.
Yeah,
and
keep
honestly,
it real.
Like. Man.
Preesh.
We love you. Thank you. Because you have no, like, our friends are, like, are listening obligatorily, and you don't have a reason to keep tuning in. And we appreciate you.
Much love. All right. Well, have a wonderful week.
Yeah.
And we will meet up again for Lizzie.
Hey now.
Lizzie's movie, but not.
Bye.
I need to go to bed. Bye.
's for hopping in the trash can with us.
Give this week's movie a watch and tell us what you think.
And let us know what movies you think are trashy treasure.
Maybe we'll give it a watch.
Follow us on Twitter at Liv and Lizzie to tell us your thoughts.
And remember, no matter how trash you feel, you are deeply treasured.
Bye!